we have with us in studio now, pushing her back to Wednesdays, but that's because Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram has been extraordinarily busy. If you've been reading the Chronicle-Telegram, well, you know why. Lisa, a pleasure to have you in studio as always. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for giving me an extra day.
Well, sounded like you really needed it.
I did.
And we'll get into that here in just a second. Lisa's appearances, of course, are brought to you by Vandenberg Jewelers in Elyria on East Broad Street near the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry. And I just realized how strange this must look to you. Like, Matt Douglas is actually behind me because we're in a different studio. We don't have three microphones set up. We probably look like Huff and Dobek from Step Brothers. At least that's the visual I get. But he's just kind of sitting behind me here because there's nowhere else for him to go. We both want to ask you some questions because you've been so incredibly busy. And, boy, this all kind of started over the weekend when the news came out with the big, big news breaking with the Elyria schools looking to make some changes to this master plan of theirs. And they're going to have to, or at least they're going to entertain the idea of cutting a couple of elementary schools. What are the specific financial reasons behind this?
From what I understand from Saturday morning's board meeting, they are running into cost overruns because of construction, labor, and material cost. When they made the master plan back in 2016, they set the budget for about $124 million. Right now, the budget is running about $3 million over that, and that's just with the design of two buildings. So they're thinking, if we design all five buildings at the original master plan, we will go far and above that.
And as far as I understand it, too, those heavily involved in this process have stated time and time again, you know, we're not going to mess with the design of these buildings. One of the reasons that we're redesigning these or building brand new buildings is because we want top-notch, state-of-the-art things for the kids. I think there was a quote in one of your stories that said, we don't want, you know, cells and bells. That just totally defeats the purpose.
Yes. You know, cells and bells is what students have now where they're just all ushered into one or two classrooms at a time and then bell rings and they go to the next classroom. For 21st century education, it's more of a collaborative learning process where you need flexible spaces, open spaces so that students can work in groups. And so they're hoping that they can build new buildings that will help facilitate that kind of learning structure.
So what's the game plan from that point? If they're going to cut two possible elementary schools, are they going to make something bigger? Are there going to be more rooms for, because I'd imagine those students have to go somewhere, do they
not?
Yes,
the number of students in Elyria won't change. We will continue to have the same. I think student enrollment now is about 6,200 students, give or take a few hundred. So that number of students won't change. But where the students will go to school could change. However, the big problem now is there's a push on the south side of Elyria for them to keep their elementary school. That community over there wants to stay with the neighborhood school. They don't like this plan of this proposed plan to reduce schools down to three main campuses.
I saw in your report, too, that one of the big concerns was the teachers. The people on the south side really like the teachers. They think they're doing a tremendous job. Would the idea be to sort of move them to one of those other schools to take on that extra workload of students? Or?
Yes. I mean, the students will stay the same. The student count will stay the same. So in theory, the number of teachers you will need will stay the same, and those teachers will just shift to new buildings. But the South Side and the people who attend Franklin Elementary kind of have a community there. They want to stay like the way.
Sure. So then the major concern I'd have to imagine would be for the parents who have to now take their kids if they miss a bus, if they have a snow day, or so I guess if they have a snow day, there's not a big difference in that. But say they miss a bus, they've got to take them a little bit longer of a track.
Yes, and then for that side of town, that's probably the least capable of getting students to school if they miss a bus. There's a lot of family members over there who don't have cars. That's where the Wilkes Villa, you know, low-income housing is. That's where the South Park low-income housing is. That's where the Ely Village is at. So there's a lot of kids who come from families that are very low means.
Sure. I saw that 70% of the levy was accepted in that area, though. Why is it that that's the area they wanted to kind of take away from?
Well, they're looking at the property that they own. So they know they need to build these larger schools, and so they need land. The district needs land to build the schools. And actually, there's no land that they own on the south side of Elyria that's large enough to fit a campus school.
Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandenberg Jewelers. And, boy, something else that you put in one of your stories over the weekend I found very interesting. Not only were there strong concerns from the south side residents that you had mentioned already in that meeting that they had last night, but I'm just kind of curious as to what some of the other neighborhoods and other residents are saying, too, about this entire plan designed to shrink the district's elementary and middle schools from 11 buildings all the way down to 5, And I think, as you put it, I mean, that kind of puts an even smaller footprint all the way across the city. That's going to be very concerning, not only to the South Side residents, but all over the city as well.
There are a lot of Elyria voters who feel as if this is not what they voted for. When the district presented them with the master plan back in 2016, the plan was to shrink the district from 11 elementary middle schools down to 5. And so they campaigned hard with this is the master plan. They told residents where those schools will be located. And so residents passed that plan and believe that if now they shrink the schools down to 3 schools, then they're not getting what they signed up for, because they signed up for 5 schools.
And, of course, we'll know a little bit more later on tonight. You mentioned that that meeting begins at 5:30. They're going to open this thing up, and they actually had to change the location of this meeting to accommodate more people. I guess I just have to ask, what are you expecting at this meeting?
You know, I don't know what to expect. You know, yesterday's community meeting down in the 5th Ward, there was about two dozen residents that showed up. I don't know if there's going to be 20, 30, 50, or 100 that will show up at tonight's meeting, but I know the board president, Kevin Brubaker, has said he will allow everyone who has signed up to speak to have their words.
So this could take quite a while.
Yes. If you come to the meeting on time, you sign up, you know, you follow their rules, you will get your 5 minutes.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why they changed the location, so they could accommodate more people. But you know, I haven't spoken to a single person who's happy about this, and why would they? I mean, I would imagine there are going to be a lot of voices concerned about that later on tonight. And I also think it's interesting, too, you know, the idea of where are these kids going to go when the construction process begins, because your resources at some point are going to be kind of limited. You mentioned the idea of swing schools during the construction process. What is that exactly?
Well, when the master plan was first developed, it was kind of stretched over 3 to 5 years. And so students would have stayed in their home schools while these new schools were built. This wouldn't have been disruptive to the students at all. Now they want to accelerate the building process and build 3 schools within 2 years, meaning that some students may have to go to one school for 1 year, and they may have to go to another school for a second year, and then a third year actually go to their brand new school. For example, when they build the new Northwood campus off North Abbey Road, you know, then the old Northwood that's on Gulf Road would now be empty, and they would move students from Eastern Heights into the old Northwood, and so they can tear down Eastern Heights and build a new Eastern Heights. And then when the new Eastern Heights opens, they would take those kids from the old Northwood and move them back to Eastern Heights. So if you're a parent and you don't want your child shuffling from school to school, this could be a big concern for you.
Yeah, clearly, because, yeah, there's going to be a lot of jumping around, no question about that. Well, all of this kind of happens also while a 2018 budget passes, too, over the weekend. So, again, you're beginning to see why Lisa wasn't able to join us yesterday. There's just been so much going on. But it sounds like while that budget passed, boy, not everybody was on board with it.
That's correct. Now, that budget is for the city of Elyria. That's the city government budget. So, I wear two hats. I cover city schools. I cover city government. So, on Monday, I switched and put on my city government reporter hat, and I went to a meeting where they passed a 2018 budget. Now, this budget by law has to be passed by March 31st, but everyone did not agree with the budget. Councilman Marcus Madison did not agree with the budget because he doesn't believe the budget process is open enough to council members so that they can ask questions and be able to have enough time to make informed decisions. And then you have Councilman Vic Stewart, who did not agree with the budget because there was a small portion of the budget that will be paid out of Issue 6 funds that will go towards the electricity bill for the light poles. That's about $600,000 a year. And he does not think Issue 6 should be used to pay that bill.
Interesting. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here so far, and I know you're going to cover even more ground when you go to that meeting coming up at 5:30 later on today. And, you know, I wanted to focus on something here before we get to what's coming up this week, even though I know a lot of what you cover coming up later on this week is going to be dictated on what we hear later on tonight. But I know you were at Lorain County Community College yesterday. Dr. Ballinger was talking about a new Bachelor of Applied Science degree in microelectronic manufacturing. Very cool stuff, because now LCCC is one of only 3 schools in Ohio to have this bachelor's program.
Yes, one of 3 community colleges. Community colleges are known for their 2-year degrees, but now LCCC will be able to offer a 4-year degree in this microelectronic manufacturing.
Very cool stuff. And I know those details were released yesterday, and if you've had the chance to walk through LCCC to see what they've got going on. Now, I heard that yesterday. I wasn't totally surprised. Our own Craig Adams was down there yesterday also getting some sound bites. One of many exciting things happening down there. Well, we'll ask you anyways, even though I have a pretty good idea as to what you're working on for next week. Again, I know a lot of what you write this coming week will be surrounded by what you hear here in a couple of hours, but what other kinds of things do you have in the hopper?
Well, I'm really hoping I can get back to my food insecurity story. My plan was to start Monday morning and hit some food pantries, and then, you know, that plan was completely shot by Saturday when I realized the schools had this issue. So I said, well, I have to push it back a week. So I'm hoping that I can start this package again because I want to look at some of the models that are in the food pantries that make the food pantries work smarter, not harder, to get people fed.
Oh, one last thing. You know, before we went on the air, you were telling me you're heading down to Columbus. Not only you, but the Chronicle-Telegram up for some awards.
Yes, I'm going to represent the Chronicle-Telegram at the annual Associated Press Awards. We're up for 17 awards this year, three myself. And so I'll go down and pick those up and see how we do.
What are you eligible for? What awards?
I am up for Best News Writer, Best Feature Writer, and Best Video.
Very cool stuff. Now, when do we find out? You said on Saturday, but around what time will they have the awards?
At about 1 o'clock.
All right, cool stuff. Well, best of luck down there. Safe travels.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, as always, for joining us here in studio.
Thank you for having me.
That's Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers in Elyria on East Broad Street near the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry.